Chapter 2. You see, Mason was old school. At the age of 40, he was steeped in frontier justice. After 15 years a lawman, he had developed a few essential rules. Meet aggression with superior aggression. In the street, dead or alive is up to them. And it's not over until you've crushed the will, not just the ability to resist. Once a man takes a shot at you, you have to believe he means it. That's how you stay alive. And while Coulson had evolved into a civilized community, the law of the gun still lingered. As it turned out, these three cowpokes were just bullies bent on malicious mischief, a mild threat by most measures. Even so, it had to stop, and that was Mason's job. 15 years ago, the Coulson City Fathers gave him that job, with a free hand to dispense justice and impose law as he saw fit. Even though Montana had been granted statehood in 1889, it had an unsavory reputation as a haven for lawbreakers. Dutch Henry Uke and the outlaws of the Big Muddy Creek Valley terrorized settlers in northeastern Montana and southern Canada with horse thievery, kidnapping, and robbery. Long Henry Thompson, the terror of eastern Montana, was a notorious gunman and killer. Con Murphy, the Jesse James of Montana, was finally hanged, as was Stephen Marshland, a road agent in Montana and thought to have been a member of the Henry Plumbers gang. Mason was well suited for the cleanup task. As a wild kid out of Wyoming, he was a fearless wrangler and a born leader, with an innate sense of fair play. He was tall, broad-shouldered, and raw-boned, respected by all who knew him. He could size a man up, good or bad, by the look in his eye and the jut of his chin. There were few men he would walk down a dark alley with, but once you proved yourself, Mason would stand by you, win, lose, or draw. Under Mason's tenure as sheriff, the worst of the worst were rounded up and hanged. Banks were fortified, gunplay in the streets ended, cattle and horse thievery shrank, and a thankful citizenry welcomed Mason whenever he walked in the door. In the name of progress, Coulson chose to create a formally structured police department in 1903. Sebastian Huntley, a political insider with questionable credentials, was selected as the chief of police, an obvious slight to Mason. As a courtesy to Mason for his years of service, he was offered the rank of sergeant and invited to join the fledgling police force. Although rankled by the snub, he accepted his new position and even submitted to wearing the standard police uniform, a navy blue dress coat with brass buttons and a ridiculous-looking pith helmet. Hot, uncomfortable, and gaudy, the get-up looked like a cross between military dress and the Salvation Army. The chief of police considered Mason a relic, and he wanted him gone. For the last 3 years, Mason was assigned street patrol, a largely symbolic duty involving walking the streets and checking doorknobs and projecting an image of law and order. Chief Huntley was betting that Mason's ego would chafe and he would simply resign. Today's mayhem on Minnesota Avenue was just another reminder of the violent past that was Coulson's unsavory heritage. A hastily gathered clutch of city leaders quietly convened and a vote was taken to get rid of Mason. Mason was chatting with the desk sergeant in the police station where the three cowpokes had just been incarcerated. Mason was in high spirits, and the two got to joking.
So he told me how you stop a grizzly bear from attacking you, chuckled the desk sergeant.
Oh, really? Mason said. How?
You throw fresh shit in his eyes.
Oh, really? And where exactly are you going to get some fresh shit at that particular moment? Asked Mason.
Well, when a grizzly bears his claws at you, just reach around the back of your britches. You'll find a fresh load, roared the desk sergeant.
Mason joined him. At that moment, the door opened and a timid councilman entered. He was dressed in a suit, trying to be worthy of his important office.
Mason, you're needed over at the town hall, he offered.
The two policemen exchanged a curious glance at each other.
Promotion? Suggested the desk sergeant.
As soon as Mason walked into the town hall, he could tell this was no award ceremony. It looked more like an ambush. Chief Huntley and two city councilmen were waiting for him.
"Have a seat, Sergeant Mason," ordered the chief. He was an imposing bully of a man with a menacing demeanor. Mason stopped short and eyed the councilman who brought him in.
The chief of police just wants to have a word," he stuttered as he was clearing his throat.
The councilman pointed to an open chair for Mason and then skittered over to his own chair. Mason sat down uneasily and studied the other men in the room. The chief began, "Mason, I've talked to you before about your heavy-handed methods."
"Those three cowhands today?" Mason replied.
"That gunplay in the street," the chief countered.
Mason was bewildered. "You thought that was heavy-handed?"
One of the councilmen chimed in. "Well, frankly, yes." "They're still alive, aren't they?" Mason reminded everyone.
"Mason, the only reason you're not in jail now is out of respect for the 15 years you were sheriff here," growled the chief. "If you think I broke some law with those cowpokes, then you go ahead and arrest me," Mason replied.
The councilman intervened. "Nobody's arresting anybody," he urged. "It's just that your methods are entirely obsolete."
"Nobody thought I was being heavy-handed when I rooted out the Butler gang when they were riding roughshod over this town," snapped Mason.
The other councilman attempted clarification.
I agree that things used to be uncivilized here, but those days are past. We have a police department now, and we want a peaceful place to raise our children."
Mason started steaming.
"I was restoring the peace. This isn't the first time you've bashed a few heads," the chief noted. "I told you a few months ago, either get with the times or else."
"Or else what?" Mason snarled. The chief could see that attempting reason was getting them nowhere.
"Mason, I didn't want it to come to this, but it's time for you to retire."
Mason couldn't believe his ears.
"To what?"
The chief knew this day was coming, and it might as well be now.
"I'm sorry, but you're just not what this town needs anymore. I'm punching your ticket. You're done."